Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, January the 17th, 17th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, former KINS news guy, Jay Hockaday.
Good afternoon.
Snuck up on you, huh?
It wouldn't be the first time for that.
No, well, it's not like you're moving that fast anymore anyway.
Well, we have something else in common,
yes,
then, don't we?
This afternoon, we'll be spending a little bit of time talking about Jay's primary avocation now and vocation, that being the Chamber of Commerce Executive Director for Humboldt County and Eureka.
Well, we are regional in scope,
yes,
but we are the Eureka Chamber.
Yeah. I thought it was the greater Eureka. As contrasted to
as opposed to the lesser, yeah. I think we've been down that road before.
Okay, good. Well, then we'll stop this one really quickly. We'll talk about get an update on the train. We heard a little bit about the airports last week from two or three of our folks, so we'll get the Chamber's take on that and also the overall economic picture of what 2013 may mean. We'll do it when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jay Hockaday from the Chamber, Eureka Chamber of Commerce. But before we do our quote this afternoon, let's see if we can find something here. Oh, that is just too cool. I'm going to asterisk that one and let you read it during the commercial break.
All right.
It is just...
You're not going to share it with the audience, then.
You want to dare me?
I dare you.
All right. Our quote this afternoon comes from David Lloyd George, talking about arrival. Sometime between 1863 and 1945 said, quote, "When they circumcised Herbert Samuel, they threw away the wrong part." All right. There you go. Sometimes my judgment might be accurate.
I'm tempted to say I'm not going to touch that one, but I realize the implications might be misunderstood.
Just kind of move on. Move on. Let's talk a little bit, Jay. You got the annual dinner coming up. I think the discussion is probably going to go a little bit more excited and a little bit longer with the other topics. So you said you wanted to be sure to talk about this, so let's put a quick plug in.
Well, I would like the opportunity just let folks know that our 123rd anniversary is coming up. The Chamber was established in 1891, and the annual dinner is an opportunity for all of our members each year to come together in the annual membership meeting to get a sense of what's out there, what we've been doing, what we're going to do. We bring on board our newly elected board members, make multiple business awards, and that's always a very difficult process because there's so many deserving businesses out there that it's a tough process.
I know you haven't called me to say that we're getting one of those awards.
Well,
so it couldn't have been too difficult a choice.
I don't want to spoil the surprise.
Yeah. You going to be there? You going to buy me drinks? You going to be there? Why should I be there? There's a reason.
There might be a reason.
Normally it's the drinks.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we try and keep it fun. And it's a business meeting, but it's...
Nobody'd show up if it was a business meeting.
Well,
except the complainers. Right?
Well, I think it's human nature for people to respond more actively to things that they don't like as opposed to things that they do. And so you tend to hear more about complaints than... things that please us, but no, it's a party. It's it is a business meeting, and it's an opportunity for the business community to come together. And in the last couple of years, I've had concerns given the economy, and are people going to want to spend the money, or they want to come out, or they want to just kind of hibernate? And we found more and more that, even in and probably because of the difficult economy, that the members of the business community really do want to kind of come together in these types of occasions, whether it be a mixer or seminar opportunities that we have. But I think that there's a certain safety in numbers. I need to kind of pull together in the tough times. And it's one of the things that has occurred over the last couple of years. We set record attendance, even in a dismal economy. So I guess I kind of panic each year thinking, is anybody going to come? And even now, early on, we're upwards of 150 people RSVP'd for this event already. And so looking forward to it. It's a good time, and it's an opportunity to celebrate what we all do each year to support our businesses, our families, and the community.
When is it?
It is January 31st at the Elks Lodge on Herrick. Begins about 5:30 with a social hour, and then the program begins a little after 6.
So if you want to show up after the business part of the meeting, it'd be about 6, 7, about 7 o'clock?
You want to miss the business part?
Well, show up for the drinks and be called away, then return.
One of our award winners last year had another obligation, and we don't like to surprise people, so he ended up having to leave just prior to the awards presentation, so it was kind of an awkward moment for everybody, but it worked out.
Hey, before you leave.
But there's one more thing. I feel like Columbo here.
Yeah. Dessert? Oh, I hadn't thought of it that way.
Well, I have to give a shout out too to the volunteer staff at the Elks Lodge. They do a tremendous job, not only in preparation but in the service itself. It's really a fun time.
Well, particularly when you get a bunch of squirrelies.
We have our share of those.
Well, you said
it was
fun.
But you weren't there last year.
You said it was fun, so that means squirrely.
That would be one
definition, yeah. So you're gonna separate Garrick and I, huh?
Oh, I don't know. The two of you make kind of a unique partnership, right?
Yeah, at least you can keep your eyes on us at the same time. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. Nowadays it's cold outside, especially if you can't afford warm winter coats for your children. That's where Coats for the Cold comes in. This homegrown organization collects donated coats, cleans them, and distributes them to needy people. It began in 2008 when Robert Lone saw sharply reduced coat prices in a store, bought a batch, and donated them to the Eureka Rescue Mission. Beginning late in January, Coats for the Cold will give out over 1,000 coats in the county, now including southern communities. To donate a coat, new or lightly used, there are 50 Humboldt locations where you can drop it off this month. Find them on this website, coatsforthecold.org. That's coatsforthecold.org. Volunteers from Teen Challenge and other organizations will give out the coats to children. Your warm heart can keep them warm this winter. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back talking shop this afternoon with Jay Hockaday from the Greater Eureka Chamber of Commerce. Jay, the concept of economic development, I suppose the closest engine that most folks would anticipate that would drive something like that or recognize opportunities and do the reach out should be and would be the Chamber of Commerce. Accurate?
Yeah, in the sense that the chamber is a focal point. We have a handful of paid staff, and everything else that we do, which is a tremendous amount of effort, is performed by volunteer efforts and the members of the business community itself. And it's one of those things that's where you kind of get out of it what you put into it. And
let's phrase it differently. In our area, because we don't have a real economic development department, straight up go out, do the hustle, it's almost de facto the chambers in the area, isn't it? If somebody was looking to relocate here, where else would they go?
The phrase I like to use is that we are engaged in the business of responsibility. And what that means, how that translates, is the ability to respond. One of my favorite parts of this position is not knowing every morning when I get up just what I'm going to be doing that day. The phone rings and everything, all the priorities can change. Because we're in a position, based upon business relationships, not only with governmental individuals and entities, but also a variety of resources, that when Brian Papstein calls and says, I'm having a problem with my taxes, or I need to get this permit, and I'm getting a runaround from somebody, we are in a position to be able to usually make one phone call, find out what the issue is, and work to get it resolved. And so that's what I mean by the ability to respond, is not necessarily having all the information in our possession right there, but to know where to go to get answers, to know where to go to get results, if that's what our members or a member needs.
So you guys will jump into something like that rather than giving them a department head or a supervisor's number?
It depends on the situation, okay. But and where the...
I think you just open up a big old door. I'm just making sure you want it open.
Well, it is a big door. It is a big door. But, for the most part, you find that particularly regulatory and governmental processes are sometimes very difficult to navigate for somebody that's not used to it. So knowing where those resource opportunities are and who the shot callers are, and being able to, have a conversation or problem-solving exercise because you've developed a relationship based on trust with whomever that may be, then it tends to simplify the process of reaching a solution rather than just wallowing with a problem.
Is part of the mission today for the Chamber of Commerce business attraction?
Absolutely.
And that's how much effort does a chamber, a typical chamber, not just yours, how much effort does a chamber spend in trying to get businesses from out of the area to locate into the area?
Well, it's kind of a multi-phased process, but your initial observation, the chamber is the principal driver of economic development, is certainly an important part of that process. One is being in a position to be able to respond to inquiries by businesses and being able to provide them whatever information they need to make the best decision as to whether to either expand or relocate. But the other part of that is removing what barriers or obstacles exist or that stand in the path of a business wanting to relocate in the first place. That's one of the reasons why we've been actively involved in transportation infrastructure, which has been an impediment to some businesses going back to the mid-2000s, when we were one of three counties in the state of California that didn't have high-speed data transmission abilities through fiber optic communications. Well, it was an intolerable and impossible situation, and that businesses that would rely on that kind of information-based technology, which is most of us now, had a competitive disadvantage and certainly no good reason to want to relocate to this area without that critical piece of infrastructure. The same thing applies to highways. The same thing applies to the airport. The same thing applies to the harbor and the ability not only to move goods and materials, but also to move people. Access to markets, access to information are critical to business success.
Nice timing. 15 seconds of music. You got close, though.
You want me to sing?
Heavens no.
I know you don't.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from J. Warren Hockaday.
Santa's been to Palco Pharmacy with a full bag overflowing with great ideas. For Christmas season entertaining, you'll find seasonal dishes and glassware for a wonderful festive event. There's some dancing mice and fun figurines that seem to have captured the essence of Christmas joy and fun. And don't forget those very special Christmas cards for loved ones and family members. Those are also available for you. Santa's been there, and now it's your turn to go to Palco Pharmacy in the Scotia Shopping Center, your center for pharmacy and gift ideas this Christmas.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jay Hockaday from the Eureka Chamber of Commerce. Jay, economic development, I guess it probably has different definitions for everybody. You know, it's a personal thing.
Sure it is.
It's jobs. I think everybody can probably pretty much agree upon jobs. Job development, job enhancement, job retention. Yeah, it's kind of that's common thing through
it. It is, yeah. That's the common denominator. How you get there, what that means to an individual business, depends on a lot of...
That's when bloodshed happens.
Sometimes.
So with economic development, and I would suggest the lack of a lot of it in our area in the last little bit, retention is another critical component of that. I don't want to skewer you. So I'll just make a statement rather than a question.
Oh, come on, of course you do.
Up and down 4th and 5th Streets in Eureka and Broadway and Henderson Center and Bayshore Mall and not so much with the Pearson's Mall, Eureka Mall, there are a stunning amount of empty storefronts.
Correct.
Ones that used to be prime time, the old Arthur Johnson's location. I can't think of a better intersection or corner location in Eureka historically over the last 100 years than Arthur Johnson's, 5th and F for those who are newer to the community. When you see that, does it drive you as batty as it does me? Get you stirred up to go out and just find businesses to come to
Well,
our area?
It does, and we do. but I have to say this, the business environment is ever in flux, and businesses come and go and close and open and thrive and sometimes fail. Recently, I did an interview with one of the local publications and on this very same topic. Why are there so many empty storefronts in Eureka? Well, there are because for a variety of reasons. But in preparation for that interview, what I asked my staff, I said, can you get me a copy of every news release that we've sent in the last year announcing business expansion or a new business, either relocation or startup? And there were over 50 of them in 2012. And so, yes, you see the storefronts, you think, my God, that's appalling. How can that be? It's a great business opportunity.
Well,
but on the other hand, you have to realize, Brian, that there are some very positive things going on out there, too.
Not to say that one exists and the other doesn't, but you look at areas that used to have waiting lists, don't. And at the same time, we see FedEx, UPS, even the Postal Service in some situations, delivering tons of product from retailers out of the area.
Mm-hmm.
So we still have women's clothing being purchased. We're still having guys' clothing, shoes. You can go up and down, go McGarrigan's, whatever you might have had. I guess that's almost name dropping anymore, isn't it? It's been 25 years.
I used to love that store.
You've hit
on my one of my favorite topics, and that is the old days or what used to be is history. It's over.
The new
market dynamics are so much more accelerated and so much more complex than they ever were before. And yes, we still wear clothes, but we have many other opportunities to find them than to go to McGarrigan's, because that's where you go.
Right, Daly's Bistro.
Or to go to the mall.
But now most people will argue convenience.
They're going to argue convenience, they're going to argue price, they're going to argue customer service, they're going to argue access, they're going to argue quality.
Okay,
in that mix,
every single one of those, there's value added. There's a perception of value, with the exception of the dollar, the price point.
Well, I would argue that part of the value equation, too.
Oh, it's in there, but it's not the primary decision. Every other thing that you mentioned, a local guy can kick the bejeebers out of an internet. You can't touch it. You can't feel it. You can't take it with you. You have to wait a day or two or pay exorbitant to get it, et cetera, et cetera. So if cost is the only thing, and with so many distributors now, the war is being waged at a bunch of different levels in that retail chain, I contend there's still a market there. There's still an opportunity for somebody to. So why aren't we seeing the entrepreneurs locate in Eureka, Humboldt County for retail?
Well, I think we are. More so than you might think, you know, driving up and down Fifth Street or, you know, going through various business districts that at one time perhaps thrived. But let's get back to the price point for a moment, because you know, that is a compelling driver for shopping and purchasing decisions. And you have to look at the not only infrastructure, but also the cost of doing business. I would argue, and I don't know the numbers, I don't have them in front of me, that operating an online business is going to be much less expensive and more efficient than a brick and mortar store where you're paying employees and you're paying taxes and you're paying a lease or a rental payment and storage for your inventory and all the rest. But, you know, there's a certain gestalt, if you will, that applies to shopping local, and that's my, you know, clarion theme lately, that that 2 + 2 starts adding up to more than 4, it's in 5 or 6.
In addition to that, the bookstore at Bayshore Mall was making money. The chain wasn't. Yeah, the distribution costs. Same
good
with
point.
A number of the other stores, because we are not on the way somewhere, we're the end of the trail.
Well,
and that's what kept Walmart out of here for a long, long time. But you start looking at some of these opportunities, I would suggest that there are some old mindsets that are in play.
Well, there's certainly that, and there's, you know, just purchasing habits. And but going back to...
And Amazon's going to brick and mortar now. You know, the antithesis of retail, right?
Well, probably the classic example is Cabela's. If you're familiar with that, sporting goods outfit that started out as primarily a little shop, but evolved into a global online powerhouse that also, as I recently read, has expanded its brick and mortar facility in, I think, Chicago. But I think
is this where a name dropped that was a Doan graduate?
No.
Yeah, it was.
It was an accident.
Oh, okay.
But you really have to think of the value, the indirect value of making purchasing decisions at the local level. If you want to see fewer empty storefronts, then you have to patronize those businesses. Is a price point the only value factor that you want to consider? Well, for many, it is.
I would suggest having to ship something back and the inconvenience and the cost associated with that.
Well, again,
often balances that.
And you hear this all the time. But the fact is, money spent locally stays local, and it goes to support employment opportunities locally. You talked about local economic development. Well, that's the way to do it. There's a tremendous amount of capital that escapes or leaks from the area because of internet purchases primarily. But think of it this way. The more people that are supported by local shopping decisions through employment opportunities are more customers for your business. I mean, it's really that simple, and it's not just an altruistic sense of loyalty, but it makes good business sense.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:43. We'll be back with more from Jay Hockaday.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m., Confessions. 5 p.m., Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jay Hockaday. Jay, when you say local, are you saying local? Or are you saying local independent?
Yes.
Is there a distinction or not? I would contend there's not.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, that in some minds, and I think in mind by some definitions and some interpretations, there would be a difference, but I'm not sure that it matters very much. My point is simply that whether it's a local independent, whether it's a franchise business, it still is creating local economic opportunities.
It's more one, like, where's the sales tax?
Is one greater than the other? Probably so, but that debate flourishes out there in terms of what really constitutes a local business. And I got a call from one of our members who has it's one of the businesses that started here locally that you would know the name if I said it, that's prospered greatly and has spread and has outlets all over the country and markets all over the country. It's a jewelry business. And when this issue came up in the media here a month or so ago, the manager, the owner, called and said, "All right, well, tell me, Jay, am I a local business or not?" That was in the context of what you've heard of recently, the Go Local Humboldt Made campaign. And I said, "Are you signing the front of paychecks for local people?" And he said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Well, as far as I'm concerned, that's good enough. That perhaps that's not as local as the mom and pop grocery store that you like to support because you like the people, but it exists on different levels, and I think they're all valid."
I'll tell you, in 55, 56, whatever number of years we've been here, I have never, ever seen a buy that was purchased because Papstein's are signing the check, or Adams when it was Grandpa. Never. I don't think it matters.
Well, I used to appreciate it.
No, coming in, not going out, man.
You mentioned at the beginning, former KINS employee.
I mean, it doesn't, I think if quality is there, if value is there, if service is there, that's what people are buying.
Well, results. Of course. Yeah, it's all part of the.
Does the sales tax issue, though, I don't know if you've heard the last couple of weeks, Brookings Chamber of Commerce is now advertising here, saying, "Come the sales tax.
Come here, yeah." And just as Nevada and Oregon and Texas and Arizona are out there actively, aggressively poaching California businesses, particularly manufacturing businesses.
Yeah, I didn't realize Nevada doesn't have an income tax either.
They're making the case. They're succeeding.
They're winning. So I guess that means that you got a little bit of work to do.
There always has been, there always shall be new priorities and new things to do. And yeah, that's a big one, to make this state. You put your primary emphasis on the things that you can change.
Okay, we'll figure that one out, whatever that one means.
Well, we'll come back for part two.
Yeah, part two. That would be community comment in a couple weeks.
All right.
By the way.
Yeah, I know.
Thanks for coming by.
Committed. Thank you.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.